era tujja kuba nga tusobola okuweza kyetulubire.
So we cannot say we do not have means of traveling. But we only need to be organized. Because Yahweh is not the author of confusion. He wants us to be organized. He wants us to be in one spirit, in one purpose, and in one love. So then we shall do what? That's actually his daughter. That's her daughter.
Yes.
That's Agnes's daughter. Wow.
Thank you.
Now, that's what Yah wants us to do.
Yeah, which chagala kole.
We were very many here yesterday, about 80 people. So if we are really determined to take this gospel, we shall take it. Let us not sit and just be there. You just hear good news and you just sit and, you know. And also I want to encourage you to read, because you see, there is a problem of Africans. If you want to kill an African, you write. And write something and you put it, you know, let it be in something like a big volume of book. He will not read it. He will look at the volume of the book and say, this is too much. I can't read all this. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to keep it the way it is. You know what will happen? What will kill you, you'll just find it there. And they will kill you, and that's how you shall die. But I like, you know, characters also matters. Okay. Our brothers here who come from either Israel or America, where for them they can read it and understand the meaning, but they reject it. So it is for us, we are looking for the words, but we don't read it. But for them, they have the knowledge, but they don't use it also. They reject it. You get the point? So it is a two-way traffic. So what do? We need to get this knowledge and then use it to others. Because it was not given to us to keep it, but it was given to us to pass it over to others. So the problem why you are still complaining, this person is not teaching well, the other person is. But when you can challenge somebody and say, when you call him and say, please, but this script is like this and this, he will not be your enemy.
Exactly.
But the problem, we keep the Bible and you are waiting for me to explain every word. Every time I have to explain. That's the problem, yes. So my sisters and my brothers, let us read. Let's have the courage and the spirit of, you know, we should read for Yahweh's words, because that is our life. I thank you for that. And I thank you to have brought Pastor Don and Pastor
Abe.
I'm very, 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 very happy. Do you know, he has just told me something that he did not, his intention to ordain me, it wasn't there.
No.
It wasn't there. You see, that's why I like him. You can't corrupt him. He's not like these pastors who are looking for. That I can give him or I can pocket him and I tell him, you know, Pastor, I want you to do this for me. You can sell me the Holy Spirit. Like the other. No. It's not like that. He's Yahweh's pastor. Because Malachi chapter 2 talks about himself and myself. So he's coming here to deliver the message of Yahweh. But when he came, when he was praying for me, and Yahweh spoke to him straight away and said, you should anoint that man. That's the thing. Can you? Me, I had a dream. I saw him putting me in the seat. When he came, I told him, he's here, he's my witness. But he's not me alone. So many brethren, they saw that. They saw that I was ordained. So Yahweh's Yahweh's mercy cannot lead you where his grace cannot sustain you. Everything Yahweh does, he does it in his own time. You can try to break it, you can try to stop it, you can try to do anything, but when Yahweh says, I'm going to do it, he will do it. Hallelujah. I have been having a lot of problems, right, left, and center. In Jerusalem, I was there on the coast, they wrote me something very evil. Somebody stood and said I was a homosexual, what. In fact, let me tell you, I cannot hide this because I've never done it and I have no intention of doing it. Why should I hide it? But he was doing that just to spoil the work of Yahweh. But he did not know that he's just trying to spoil the work of Yahweh. And that's the backfire which he got, I called him, I wanted him to come and testify here and say, so and so you are like this. Hello, Sophie. We are just here at Bat Valley. Inside in Bat Valley. So, okay, what I wanted to emphasize on is that whatever you do, what the Bible says in chapter 6 verse 7 in Galatians, that whatever you sow is what you reap. Exactly. So, dear brothers and sisters, there is no corruption in the congregation of Yahweh. And I invite you to work with me. And I am very, 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 I am the person who is down to earth. If you see something which is wrong, you just come and tell. And say, there is something wrong here, why don't we do it this way? Because we are servants of Yahweh. We are not serving ourselves. So, in fact, I am very happy for that if I have a repentant heart, is what Yahweh looks at. So, Pastor, I believe that it wasn't a mistake, it was Yahweh's will, and I hope and I pray. I am not saying that I am above anybody, but I pray to take the work of Yahweh on.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Yosef, and shalom and hello to everybody again. I apologize, we're going to have to make this short today, but we have our airplane to get back. One thing I teach at our Bible school is about being kings and priests for Yahweh. Revelation 5:10 says we will be kings and priests in his kingdom. And 2 Corinthians tells us that we are his ambassadors. Have you ever looked at yourself as a king or ambassador? But whenever we travel to a country, that's the way we present ourselves as ambassadors for Yahweh. We had the blessing this morning of meeting the madam of the Secretary of Agriculture here.
Minister.
And we don't come as just Pastor Don. We come as an ambassador for Yahweh. And it's important that you understand this in your life. That all of us, we're all Yahweh's ambassadors. So every way we conduct our life, the way we dress, our speech, how we present ourselves to people, our integrity, our honesty, all of these are showing whether we're true ambassadors of Yahweh or not. And that's why I'm so excited about the new program of Return to the Land, of bringing you to Israel. Because we're teaching you those things, how to be Yahweh's ambassador. And then to come here and represent the nation of Israel. I don't know for sure, but maybe even later this year, Yahweh willing, I hope to maybe return with a government official from Israel. So they can recognize you as Yahweh's ambassadors for Israel.
Wow.
But we'll have a lot of time to coordinate so that we can bring many, many people if we have this meeting. So people will know who you are, and they'll know that Israel recognizes you. Whenever I come to a nation, I always do what's called a plan of action. I don't just show up and wonder, what am I going to do there? There's a plan of action. What is the purpose of me coming here for these days? And I had a plan of action for Ethiopia before here. And also for my time here in Uganda with Brother David. But because of the problems we had beforehand, I wasn't really sure what would be the result of this meeting. But I really feel Yahweh's Spirit was poured upon us. And I was so encouraged yesterday at our meetings. And to see all the different elders coming together and giving their word before Yahweh, that they would all work together in unity for the work here. I really believe this is a new day in Uganda. And it's time for us to move forward in the work of Yahweh. So we may be few in number, but we're mighty in spirit. And each one of us have to be committee of one of bringing this word here to this nation. And you have something that no other religion has. You have your leadership coming from Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Yahweh's set apart city. So like I said, we don't have a lot of time. But I want to talk a little bit today about the Torah and Yeshua. I want to start in Matthew 5. Because most of the churches in the world today believe that Yeshua did away with the law or the Torah. But I want to show you this is not only a lie. It's a very serious lie. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Yet Satan is telling us, Satan is telling us that the wages of sin is eternal life. What is sin? 1 John 3:4. Sin is the breaking of the Torah or the law. So if the wages of sin is death, and sin is breaking the Torah or the law, then that means breaking the Torah leads to death. Yet the churches are telling you it's nailed to the cross, it's done away. It's the same lie Satan told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Yahweh said to Adam and Eve, in the day you eat that fruit, you will die. Satan told Eve, oh, eat the fruit, surely you will not die. So this is not just religion. It's not just a matter of words. This is about eternal life. So let's look at what Yeshua said about Yahweh's Torah. Matthew 5:17. Do not think I came to annul the Torah or the prophets. Did you ever think to yourself, when the pastors are saying Yeshua did away with the law, if only we had his own words, if only we had the words of Yeshua saying they're lying, and here's Yeshua's own words: do not think that I came to do away with the Torah of the prophets. I did not come to do away with, but to fulfill. Truly I say to you, until the heaven and earth pass away, in no way will one yod or one stroke pass from the Torah till all comes to pass. Now what does he mean by one yod or one stroke? In Hebrew and Aramaic, there's no vowels, it's a point. That's what he means by the stroke, the little vowel point. Now one vowel point would be done away. And the yod is the smallest letter in the Hebrew language. So now, the yod and the stroke, he says, will never be done away. Do you know when you write the name Yeshua? You need the yod and you need the stroke. So he's saying here his name Yeshua will never be done away. Jesus has no yod. Jesus has no stroke. So it's a double prophecy. The Torah will not be done away with, and his name Yeshua will not be done away. He says, therefore, whoever loosens one of these commandments, the least, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the worst in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, this one shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Does it sound like Yeshua is doing away with the Torah? No way. Let's go to Isaiah 42. And this is about the Messiah. About what he's going to do. Verse 1. Behold my servant. I will support him. My elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him. He shall bring forth justice to the nations. This is talking about Yeshua. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his verse to be heard in the street, his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A bruised reed like a stick, that's a little skid stick. And a smoking wick he will not quench. A smoking wick, like a wick of a... He shall bring forth justice to
truth.
So again, in the Hebrew language, this is meaning he's very gentle. You know, when he's walking through the forest, and there's a thin stick that's almost broken, he's not going to smash it, he's going to protect it. And here's what he's going to do. It says, I, verse 6, I, Yahweh, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand and will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, for a light of the nations, to open blind eyes, to lead out the prisoner from prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison. Now this is very metaphorical. Very metaphorical. It's like a metaphor. Analogy. It's not literally prison, it's analogy. Yeah, he's saying here in verse 7, I will lead out the prisoner from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison. But he's talking to all of us. He's talking about the prison of sin. Sin will enslave you. And the more you sin, the more your life will be enslaved to it. So when he came to free the captives from prison, he didn't come to do away with the Torah. He came away to do away with sin. And he came to free us from ourselves. Before you received the Holy Spirit, maybe you had sin in your life. It could have been any evil sin. And every one of you can give testimony to that. How the Holy Spirit freed you from that. To bring you to be a righteous servant of Yahweh. So this is where Yeshua came to do. He came to do away with sin, not law. And Satan has totally perverted it. Let's go to the book of Galatians.
Galatians.
Chapter 3. And starting in verse 10. Actually, I'll start in verse 13. It says, Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the Torah. Of the Torah. Having become a curse for us. For it has been written, cursed is everyone having been hung on a tree. Now people will read this scripture and think the Torah itself is the curse.
Exactly.
Yet Yahweh said in the Torah, I will bless you if you obey me. I will curse you if you sin and disobey. And I've talked to many Christian pastors. I say, look from Genesis to Revelation. And tell me one curse for obedience. You don't find it. There's only blessings for obedience and cursing for sin. So the curse of the Torah, it's not the Torah that's the curse, it's the breaking of the Torah that's the curse. So now, why couldn't the Torah bring us to salvation? Let's go to verse 21. Is then the Levitical law against the promises of Yahweh? Elohim forbid. For if a law had been given which was able to make alive, if a law had been given which was able to make alive, indeed righteousness would have been out of the law. But the scripture locked up all under sin. The scripture locked up all under sin. That by the promise of faith of Yeshua Messiah might be given to the ones believing. See, the problem with the Torah is that the Torah can teach you right from wrong, but it can't change your heart. It can't make you do the right thing. The Torah tells us it's wrong to be alcoholic, drunkard. But how does it stop the man who's addicted to the alcohol? Only the Holy Spirit can make us not want to drink anymore. So the law is perfect and holy and just. But Paul says, I am a sinner sold under sin. The problem is not the law. The problem is with us or human nature. But the law was never meant to give you salvation. That's what the pastors are telling you. They're telling you, you have to choose between obedience and faith. You don't have to choose. What does the book of James say? Show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. Your work is the evidence of your faith. What if I tell you I have faith? Then I sit here getting drunk, stealing money. Where is my faith? My faith is empty. The work has to be the evidence of your faith. The first chapter of John says that the law, the Torah, came through Moses, but faith and truth came through Yeshua Messiah. Psalm 119:105 says the Torah is a lamp to my feet. See, the Torah is not there to give you salvation. The blood of Yeshua is there to give you salvation. The Torah is there to teach you right from wrong. Because once you come to the truth, now you have to live the rest of your life. We had 36 baptisms yesterday. You have to live the rest of your life now. How do you live? How do you dress? What food do you eat? The Torah tells you all those answers. The Torah is a lamp to your feet to teach you right from wrong. And I like to say it this way. Moses took the Israelites through the Red Sea to Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. But Joshua, the servant of Moses, same name as our Savior,
Yeshua,
he took them through the Jordan River to the Promised Land. So the Torah can lead you to Yahweh, but you have to go through the waters of the Jordan River, the baptism to the Promised Land. The Torah can lead you to salvation. Because I would not have known lust except the Torah said, thou shalt not lust. So the Torah will lead you to salvation. But it's not the purpose of the Torah to give you salvation. That's through the blood of Yeshua our Savior. But now that we have salvation, does the Torah become of no effect because of grace? Romans 3:31. Yahweh forbid! We establish the Torah through our grace. This is what we need to be teaching the people out there. They have been hoodwinked into Satan. They've been hoodwinked by Satan to believe that somehow Yahweh is pleased with our law breaking. That there's no accountability for our actions anymore. We could eat food that Yahweh says is abominable. We can commit sinful acts that Yahweh says bring death. And somehow it's all going to be forgiven because we're under grace. Yeshua dying on that tree of crucifixion. And I told you yesterday what a horrible beating he took. He did not die on that tree so you can continue in your sin. He died on that tree to save you from your sin. He didn't save you in your sins. He saved you from your sins. He didn't save you in your sins. He saved you from your sins. And wherever there is forgiveness and grace, there has to be repentance. Luke 13. What did Yeshua say? These Galileans that Pilate mixed with their blood and killed them, were they worse than other Galileans? The Galileans that were killed by Pilate, were they worse than the other Galileans? And Yeshua said, no, they're not worse than the others. Yet unless you repent, you will likewise perish. And this is the lie of Satan. There is no grace without repentance. There has to be repentance before Yahweh pours His grace. Let's move on from Galatians 3. And I'll start in verse 26, for you are all sons of Yahweh through faith in Yeshua Messiah. For as many as were baptized in Messiah, you put on Messiah. There cannot be Jew or Aramaean. There is no slave or free man. There is no male and female. For you are all one Ikad in Yeshua Messiah. And if you are of Messiah, then you are seeds of Abraham, even heirs according to the promise. So nowhere in the Torah does it ever tell us that we can continue to sin after we receive the knowledge of the truth. The opposite. Hebrews the 10th chapter and verse 26. For if we are willfully sinning after receiving the full knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice concerning sins. But he is ready for the fearful judgment and zealous fire being about to consume the adversaries. For if he who transgressed the law of Moses died without mercy, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, how much worse punishment do you think it will be thought worthy to receive? The one trampling the Son of Yahweh, and having counted the blood of the covenant as common, in which he was sanctified, and having insulted the Spirit of grace, we talked about this yesterday. The Jewish people did not kill Yeshua. The Romans didn't kill
Yeshua.
Each one of us killed Yeshua. Because he only died because of our sins. So if our sins put him on the tree of crucifixion, why would we continue to sin to put him back on that tree? And like it says here, insult the Spirit of grace. I like to give an analogy this way. If I was driving out here on the highway in Uganda, and I was going too fast, I was speeding on the highway, and a policeman pulled me over, and he said, "You're speeding, we have to give you a ticket to pay the fine." And he says to me, "I'm a very poor man and I have 7 children. The policeman says, "I'm a very poor man with 7 children. But I'm going to pay your fine for you. Even though you don't deserve it, you were speeding. I broke the law. But the policeman is giving me grace. He's not doing away with it, the penalty. From his own little salary, the policeman is actually paying the penalty. Now when I start driving on the highway again, do I continue to speed? The fact that that man took the little bit of money he had and paid my penalty did that give me the license to continue to speed? See, you were being taught a very cheap grace. I told you yesterday, there's a difference between forgiveness in the penalty being paid. Christianity is only preaching forgiveness. Forgiveness is very easy. But paying the penalty is something else. If a man killed another man, and the judge is there, it's easy for the judge to say, I forgive you. It would be hard for that judge to go and sit in the jail cell instead of the man who did the murder. It's a big difference. Like I said, forgiveness, the forgiveness part can be easy. But with every action, there's a reaction. With every action, there's a blessing or a penalty. So that's why I say Yeshua did not only forgive our sins, He paid the penalty for our sins. And we don't want to shame that spirit of grace by continuing to sin. Let's go to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1 in verse 7 says, and as the cherubs, and as to the cherubs he said, he who makes his cherub spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son he said, your throne, O Elohim, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Because of this, Yahweh, your Elohim, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beside your fellows. So our Savior loves righteousness and He hates lawlessness. If we go to 1 John, the second chapter, starting in verse 3, and by this we know that we have known Him if we keep His commandments. You know many of the Sunday keepers. Everyone says they love Jesus, right? Who is a Christian? Who is a Catholic who doesn't love Jesus? But what does the Word say? The one saying, I have known Him, and not keeping His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in them. Now maybe like Brother Yosef was on the radio. And the pastors may come and say, are you calling us liars? No. Let the Word speak for itself. Let the Word speak for itself. If you say you love Him and keep not your His commandments, according to Yahweh, you are a liar. Who created the world in 6 days? Yahweh.
Yes.
Who rested on the seventh day and actually finished His work by resting and created the Sabbath day? Yahweh, the only creator of the universe. If we love Him, we will honor Him and give Him glory on His Sabbath day. Why is that so hard? Millions of people go and worship on Sunday, the day of Baal. People have no problem problem worshiping Baal. So if we love Yahweh, why can't we rest that one day and honor him? But verse 5 of 1 John 4, 1 John 2. But whoever keeps his word, truly in this one the love of Yahweh has been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one claiming to rest in him ought to walk himself even as he walked. All the Christians say, Yeshua is our rest. We don't have to keep the Sabbath. He has become our rest. Here's the verse. The one claiming to rest in him ought to walk like he walked. Which day did Yeshua keep? He kept the Sabbath day. He's called the master of the Sabbath. If the Sabbath's done away, is he the master of nothing? No, the Sabbath is a physical day. Friday sunset, Friday, Saturday. And we honor Yahweh and Yeshua as creators. Chapter 5 of 1 John. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh. When we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh. That we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not a burden to us. I recently had a paper I sent out. And that first thing on the paper said, I will serve Yahweh with my heart, my mind, my soul, and my strength. Somebody wrote to me and told me that's demonic. I wonder what spirit is in their mind. They said we are to love Yahweh, not serve him. I never knew you had to make a choice. The way I show Yahweh my love is by my service. There is never a choice to love and obedience. They go together. Let's go to Matthew 7. Because I want you to show you how serious this is. And I want you to mark this verse down. Because it's a very important verse that you must tell all your friends out there. Because it's about when Yeshua comes back to this earth very soon. Matthew 7, in verse 13. Go in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are the ones entering through it. There's a lot more people on the outside than inside, right? I say if you're sitting in a congregation with 20,000 people, that pastor is probably not preaching the truth. In America, some of the congregations have 20,000 people in the stadium. But they're not preaching the gospel of Yeshua. They're tickling the ears, like it says. Preaching nice things to the people. That's the wide gate. Verse 14. For narrow is the gate, and constricted is the way that that leads a way into life. And few are the ones finding it. Never be feeling sad because there's not more people in the room. We want all the people in the room. You want the whole nation in the room. But the reality is few people finding this narrow way of life. It's a hard way of life. But the reward is terrific. I saw a sticker one time on a car. And it said, Yahweh's ministers. The pay is not very good, but the retirement plan is wonderful. But thank Yahweh, you're on that narrow road. Now verse 15. But beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inside they're plundering wolves. And I don't have to say much more about that. You know about the wolves in sheep clothing here. From their fruits you shall know them. Do they gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? So every good tree produces good fruits. But the corrupt tree produces evil fruits. A good tree cannot produce evil fruits. Nor a corrupt tree produce good fruits. Every tree not producing good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Then surely from their fruits you will know them. It will not be that just everyone who says to me, Master, Master, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, very soon when he returns, Master, Master, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons. And in your name do many works of power. Now here's the word, the verse you have to tell your friends. And then I will declare to them, from everlasting, I never knew you. Depart from me, those working lawlessness. Satan has deceived the whole world, Revelation 12. And there's many, many good people outside that door who just have never been taught the truth. It's your responsibility before Yahweh to bring the truth of His Torah and His Word to these people. Because it's a matter of life and death. You know, when I found out Yeshua's real name, I thought to myself reading this scripture, could it also have something to do with his name? Can it have something to do, the scripture, with his name? If someone started running up to me and saying, William, William! Started saying to me, William, William!
William, William!
I'm not William. I might say, I don't know who you are. Could it be the same that when Yeshua is saying, I don't know who you are? Could it be because they don't know who he is? And we have to teach the people the true name of our Savior.
Hallelujah.
I Isaiah, the 8th chapter. Isaiah 8 in one verse, verse 20.
Isaiah.
Isaiah 8,
verse
20.
And this is a verse that I use to test teachers who say they're teachers of Yeshua. Isaiah 8:20. To the Torah and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the Torah and the testimony. If they don't speak according to this word, there is no light in them. Who would want to listen to someone who's full of darkness? So if someone tells you, I'm a teacher, and the Torah is gone away, then what are they teaching from? This says to the Torah. This is the teaching, the Torah. Paul said in Acts 28, he was teaching the people every day from the Torah. The New Testament was not even written for maybe 100 years after Yeshua. So were the apostles telling you turn to the book of Jude? No, the apostles, they didn't say go to the book of Jude or the book of Peter. They only had the Torah. Peter taught from the Torah, Paul taught from the Torah. So anyone claiming to be a teacher and doing away with the Torah, Yahweh says there's no light in him. That's not Don saying it. That's Yahweh saying
it.
Let's also go to Proverbs 28, because you're a praying people here in Uganda. And that's wonderful. You're a great example to other believers that you pray fervently. And I'm sure in the Christian churches they're praying fervently too, right?
Yeah. Come again.
In the Christian churches they're probably praying fervently. And nobody wants to pray in vain, right?
So
look at this very serious scripture. Proverbs 28 and verse
9.
Whoever turns aside his ear from hearing the Torah, even his prayer is an abomination. That's a heavy scripture. When I was younger, and I wanted Yahweh to hear me, boy, this scripture was heavy on my heart. I would never want my prayer to be abomination. I want my prayer to be sweet incense, like it talks about in Revelation. Show your friends this scripture. Not as condemning them, but loving them. Letting them know, if you want your prayers heard, you must turn back to the
Lord.
Revelation 14, in verse 12. Now we know Revelation is a time in the future. This has not happened yet. And it's all about Yahweh's people in the last days. So this is what the people of Yahweh are doing in the days we're living in today and into the future. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are the ones keeping the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yeshua. Love and obedience. It's not a choice. It's a lifestyle. It's not a choice, it's a lifestyle. One of the worst lies Satan has told the people in this end time is doing away with Yahweh's Torah. Because again, the Torah is what's teaching us right from wrong. And you have to make a decision to do something. You're not going to sit in the chair for 20 years and do nothing. So if you're not making decision from the Torah, where does your decision come from? It comes from your own heart. And yet the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful and wicked. I know what's inside of me. And in the flesh, it's not good. But I also know the spirit that's in me that is putting to death the flesh. And the spirit in us is greater than the spirit in the world. There is a great work before us and just a little time to go. I didn't have the time to talk much about prophecy. But I'm telling you, the world is going to change very quickly. Very soon, America Babylon is going to fall. And all the finances worldwide will crumble overnight. And then world war will come quickly. And Israel will get attacked. And it's going to seem like there's chaos at every corner. And you can't be shaken from this foundation. The book of Daniel, 11th chapter, says during this time when this happens, and we're going to be outlawed because of our beliefs. We'll be outlawed because of our beliefs. It says the people who know Yahweh will be strong and will work and do exploits. Many of the people who will not listen to you today, they're going to be looking for you in that day. And that's why we have to strengthen ourselves today while it's still cold today. We have to memorize these Bibles while you still have a Bible. The day might be coming very quickly where these Bibles are illegal. Take advantage of everything Yahweh's given you. Pray without ceasing. Fast often. Keep yourself focused on the word and the work of Yahweh. But most of all, love one another. For by this, all men will know your mind is
true.
Law and love, they go together. If we bring the law out to the world without the love of each other, they're going to think we're communists. They'll think we're communists. If we bring love without the law, we might as well go back to Baal's church on Sunday. No, you want to bring the law and the love together as one. And teach these people the truth of Yahweh. So may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine on you. May His countenance be upon you. And may His shalom be on you.